You say tomato, I say Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A podcast completely devoid of yo mama jokes. And now your mileage may vary. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. As Drew McMillan just told you, this is Doug Jones, your Medicare expert for today. And depending on what day this is, maybe for the rest of the week. It is wonderful to be able to address you again in the real time world that Randy and I live in. It's early January and it's colder than heck here in Illinois. I think the Arizona weather has improved considerably since our last conversation. But basically, what I always want to say is that we are here to assist you in crossing that line from Obamacare to Medicare. And we do this not just for lazy men and lazy ladies, but for everybody who's approaching Medicare, whether your age 65 is coming up soon, or whether you're looking at retiring at a much older age after having worked, for years past your 65th birthday. Either one of those things, they're approximately equal. The same actions need to be taken, the same decisions need to be made. And I am here to personally help you make those decisions and take those actions. So we normally at this point get tired of listening to me, and we often play our 30-second radio spot. So if I'm real quiet, I bet Randy will play that for us right now, and then I'll come back. Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. Thank you, Randy. That's still an excellent piece of engineering expertise that you've shown with that. And here I am sitting in the bright Illinois sun as it shines through the window behind me, meaning Randy can't even see whether I've shaved yet or not because he's looking at the mere shadow of a Doug Jones on his screen. Hello, Randy. How are things today?
I'm good. I just wanted to notify the audience today that, you know, you may not realize it, but Doug has made the big trip east, if you hadn't caught that yet. He's back in the land of snow. And you know what he was doing this morning? I had to call his wife to go drag him in off the Toboggan Hill.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, darn.
You ladies and gentlemen. That would have been true when I was a kid. Cold didn't seem to affect me. I'd be out there with all my friends for like pretty much a whole day. And when I came home at night, my clothes would be frozen stiff because they'd get all snowy and then they'd get wet. And my pants were, I felt like the Tin Man, when I was out all day. But and at my advanced age, I stay away from that sort of activity to the extent that I can. So especially what I'm doing in Illinois right now is packing up everything that any Jones has owned for many decades past. I have a scrapbook from, I think that the earliest date I saw it was 1883. Now, tell me we're not hoarders, Randy. This scrapbook doesn't...
Did you say 1883? Oh, my gosh.
Almost 150 years ago. And I started to say, well, nobody is alive that would care. None of my kids are going to care about it. And then I pulled it out of the garbage heap and I said, well, I don't want to get rid of history to that extent. So I put it back in the save pile, which is pretty much the whole house. So this is what I'm dealing with now. This is what I'll be doing the rest of the day today, tomorrow, and Tuesday, because the movers come on Wednesday. And the thing is, it's just like having a maid. You don't want the maid to think you're a pig. So you clean the house before the maid shows up, so she doesn't think you're a slob.
Yeah. What is with that? Margaret does the same thing. We have a housekeeper, and the day before the housekeeper comes, you know, she's up, you know, like, oh, dark 30, you know, like doing something. Yeah. And I asked her years ago, I said, what are you doing? She goes, well, I'm cleaning stuff up. The housekeeper's going to be here tomorrow. And I, of course, you and I, like any guy in the world, are going to go, okay, isn't I don't get job? This. What isn't it the housekeeper's job to do some of that?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and in this house, it's going to be a nightmare for Mary because labor is short right now. We've got all kinds of economic problems in America that if you listen to this in years future, you'll remember that we went through a labor shortage and a supply chain shortage. Well, right now we are in a housekeeper shortage. So here we are selling a house with 6 bedrooms and 8 bathrooms and all kinds of space to get dirty. And we want the new buyer to be happy that they bought the house. So that means we got to sterilize the place ourselves because it's just been impossible for us to find any reliable help. So that's what we'll be doing until we return to Arizona.
Anyway. I totally get it. Out here, we're lucky because we've had our housekeeper and our landscaper and all those people just probably for, you know, somebody called up for a reference just the other day, and we were trying to think back how long we've had our landscaper, and his wife happens to be our housekeeper. And we were thinking, uh-huh. You know, pretty close to 15 years.
Well, that's good because you're able to give them a steady income and you're not their sole source of income, I'm sure. Our housekeeper that we used to have, or our cleaning lady, she was basically upwardly mobile. That wasn't her goal in life, but she did a wonderful job for us for a long time. And then she wound up getting married, having kids, and running out of free time. She has other responsibilities now. And it has been hard for us because we're only here half the year to find somebody reliable to come in and do that sort of thing. When the house is closed up for 6 months, we don't really care what happens in here. And so it's in this labor shortage economy that we're suffering through, it has been difficult for us to find anybody to help out. So Mary's going to have to clean 8 bathrooms and 6 bedrooms to a higher standard so that the buyer is happy with it. That's our goal anyway, that the buyer be happy.
Well, I got to tell you one short story about landscaping. And Randy Carson, that didn't know anything about desert landscaping when he moved to Arizona 20 years ago. Uh-huh. So it's a short story, and then we'll probably get to work. What do you think? You know, start telling some Medicare stories. Okay.
Yeah.
This is a short story, but it'll just highlight how much a guy coming out of Nebraska had no clue as to what should happen in Arizona. But I got out here, and the people we bought the house from said, oh, we've got a landscaper. Here's his card, and he'll come by once a week and he'll do his thing. And then he'll send you a bill once a month and you pay it. And we'll just, he's a good guy and you can just use the same guy. And I go, okay, good. So I moved out here just about, as you know, 2 years before my wife and kid, because Brenna wanted to stay home and graduate high school back in Nebraska. So I'm out here thinking I've got my hands around everything. And then all of a sudden I walk out one Saturday morning having my cup of coffee in the Arizona sun. And I look and, at least 2, maybe 3 of my bushes were laying on their side.
Really?
And I went over and I pulled them up and they just came out of the ground like, you know, there was nothing. And I go, well, holy I might not know anything about Arizona landscaping, but I know this ain't right.
Yeah, well, so, what was the cause?
Well, the cause is this guy that was the now this is not my current landscaper. My current landscaper is the guy that replaced him, but he had been taking my money and not coming out and doing anything for months. So my landscaping just killed its. You know, the bottom line was it was dead, and he had turned off the watering system.
Oh, geez, what a nice guy! He thought he was doing you a favor, I guess, huh?
So I had to go out and not me, but I had to come in and replace all the landscaping except for the cactus, you know, that survived the deal. But bottom line is he was not asked back for the, because I'd been paying invoices for nothing.
I'm not surprised to hear that. Well, fortunately, my landscaper in Arizona is the also taking care of the whole HOA. And so since he's in the neighborhood, he's not going to fail to show up at my house. He may not do much when he shows up, but if I'm around, I'm able to say, hey, you forgot to do this or that. But mostly he is there and on the job, and he'll do everything necessary to keep Mary happy, because I basically sicked her on him. She has much higher standards. I came to the desert because I love the desert. I don't really need a lot of, you know, underbrush and stuff around the yard, but Mary seems to like the plants. And so if the plants are hurting, then she's going to be all over this guy like stink on dog poop. And
he I get it.
That, so
yeah, I get it. But you know, I felt so stupid because I noticed over the course of weeks leading up to this, you know, key event where all my plants tipped over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at them going, my God, they look like they're getting dry. Well, then I'm thinking in my mind, well, I don't know anything about desert landscaping, so
yeah,
maybe this
like
is
it
just,
here, otherwise
it'd be here. If it wasn't here, it couldn't live here. And that might just be the way it works. No.
Oh, boy. I would have made the same mistake. So it's better to hear it from somebody else and learn from their mistakes.
Hey, well,
you know, I didn't mention our books today. We have books for sale for people that want to read about what they need to do for Medicare, and that's Medicare for the Lazy Man. Now, you think, since you're listening to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, you would have already surmised that that would be the title of the book. But just as a reminder, I feel better when we've told people that we do have books available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. So if you're looking for reading material, go there to study up about Medicare. It's going to take you about an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes to read the book. And then you'll know pretty much everything you'll need to know, unless you're one of the one percenters that has such an oddball financial situation that Medicare itself doesn't apply to you. And that's going to be a whole different school of fish, a whole different can of worms. And I will be happy to speak to you on the telephone if you'd rather do it that way, if your situation is too complex to figure out from the book. Anyway, I told everybody a few episodes ago that there was a problem in Oklahoma, and I'm happy to say that the problem has been resolved. In the Oklahoma Blue Cross Blue Shield networks, all the people that have managed care from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Oklahoma, they were warned that anesthesiologists at Integris Hospitals were going to be leaving their network. And I told people that that was going to be kind of a problem for anybody that was going to be undergoing surgery, because I would think they would have difficulty finding replacement anesthesiologists to take over. So if you've got a network that you belong to because you were foolish enough or ignorant enough to buy a Medicare Advantage plan, and you're ever going to need surgery at a hospital served by the U.S. Anesthesia Partners, then they will have trouble scheduling your surgery because they won't have an anesthesiologist to serve the doctors doing the actual surgery. Well, as luck would have it, they went back to the bargaining table and they resolved their differences, and this crisis has now been averted. But then that led me to a little article written by Oklahoma Blue Cross Blue Shield, and it's entitled Network Negotiations, Keeping Healthcare Costs Down for Oklahoma. Now, of course, they wrote this, and they're painting themselves as the good guys. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Oklahoma maintains contracts with more than 23,000 doctors and healthcare providers across the state. As a normal course of business, our contracts with hospitals and many physician groups are for a set period of time. This allows both the provider and Blue Cross Blue Shield to periodically review and update the terms under which they will do business with one another, or exit the arrangement if mutually acceptable terms cannot be reached. Negotiation of a new contract is complex and can take weeks or even months leading up to the expiration date of the old agreement. Almost all of these negotiations resolve favorably. Negotiating contracts is one way we keep healthcare costs down for all Oklahomans. Now, you don't have to think about Oklahoma, ladies and gentlemen. This would be true. This would be written the same way in any state in the union when there's a managed care contract. And for Medicare people, that means a Medicare Advantage plan, because that's managed care. Why is it managed care? Because they manage your care. You're not free to manage your own care. You must use their doctors, their facilities. And so they manage your care for you. And there's a lack of freedom that you would find with my recommended product, which would be a Medicare supplement. Anyway, the article goes on to say, why negotiate? As a customer-owned health insurance industry leader in Oklahoma for more than 80 years, we work with doctors and hospitals to find solutions that are in the best interests of our members. We advocate on our members' behalf for high-quality, cost-effective health care. It's a responsibility we take very seriously. As part of the negotiation process, we inform the key stakeholders, including members. That would be you, ladies and gentlemen. We inform them of negotiations that could possibly end with a doctor or hospital leaving our networks. We are also required to comply with applicable laws regarding notice to members when a provider will or may soon leave a network. We do this to protect our members, not to cause undue concern. And what they're saying here is that they're not using this as a negotiating tactic. Now, Randy disagrees, and I have to say that Randy has a more skeptical and maybe more accurate view of this whole negotiation process. But Oklahoma Blue Cross Blue Shield is saying that they're not trying to scare people to put pressure on the uncooperative, anesthesiologists here. And they're saying that their motives in letting you know that the anesthesiologists want to depart from their contract or their contractual obligations is entirely altruistic or required by law. Randy is skeptical, and he thinks that what they've done is cause the phone to ring off the wall at the anesthesiology headquarters with angry patients who say, hey, you better re-sign your contract so that when I go get my surgery, it won't hurt so much. So anyway, upcoming negotiations, throughout 2022, we will be renegotiating many of our contracts. You may see more information about negotiations than you're used to. Oh boy, so they have a lot of contracts coming due in Oklahoma with Blue Cross Blue Shield. And this is going to affect their Medicare Advantage plans that they may have bought. Now, here's the thing. They're trying to get the doctors to provide services at the lowest possible cost. Now, that's always a good thing. I don't have any problem with that. But what happens is they are actually accepting money from the federal government and then trying to minimize the amount that goes out the door. That's why they're holding the anesthesiologist's feet to the fire and having them be re-signed at a negotiated price level that's not as attractive to them as they wanted. And that's so that they can retain, so the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Oklahoma can retain more of the federal money that is doled out to them for each of the Medicare Advantage patients. So anyway, we will do our best to keep you appropriately informed. As always, we're working on behalf of our members to give them access to high quality, cost-effective healthcare. Watch this newsletter for alerts about current negotiations and for the many ways that you can stay informed. Well, I will watch that newsletter for you, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to worry about a thing. What kind of time do we have, Randy?
We are down to 1 minute and 21 seconds.
Well, then let me pontificate on another subject that I dearly love. I do not sell or encourage people to buy Medicare Advantage plans, but I do sell and encourage people to buy Medicare supplement plans because they offer many, many advantages to Medicare Advantage. Medicare disadvantage plans are not very advantageous. But as we know, especially in an environment and an economy suffering from inflationary pressures, that those rates are probably going to go up. The cool thing about my product that I try to steer average people of average or better health to is the high deductible or high value plans. The cool thing about them is that when there's a rate increase on a high deductible or a high value plan, it is going to be a smaller amount. Let's say that Let's say that the price for a Plan G in your area for, you know, a 65-year-old or whatever is $150. And let's say that the monthly premium for a high deductible Plan G or high value Plan G is in the neighborhood of $40. Well, if that company takes a 10% rate increase, now 10% would be outrageous, but if that company takes a 10% rate increase, the premium for the Plan G is going to go up $15 a month times 12. You know, that's going to be a fairly hefty amount at the end of the year. The premium for the high deductible or high value Plan G is going to go up $4 a month. So you multiply that by 12 and you have a much smaller annual increase. This is one of the things that I like about the high deductible plans. They're less expensive going in. You get more bang for your buck. And if the bad news comes down the pike that there's going to be a rate increase, you won't be harmed or be sucker punched in your wallet to the extent that you would have been if you had a more expensive plan. Most likely. I mean, never say never, but in general, then operating theory here is the operating economic truism is going to be that if you start from a lower basis, then a percentage increase is going to be much less painful. This is one of the advantages to the high deductible or high value Medicare supplement plan that I recommend, which is high deductible Plan G. The other thing I can tell you is that my favorite insurance company, the one that is almost always the least costly of all primary major insurance companies for Medicare supplements, that company, United American, located in Texas, has not taken a rate increase on their high deductible plans in quite some time. Now, when you go back and measure the only high deductible plan that they used to have before high deductible G came along, high deductible F, they had they measured that during 8 years, and I read off some of those statistics a couple episodes ago, but I'm seeing the same sort of thing happen. I've been getting notices about rate increases from United American for plans A, B, high deductible plan F, high deductible G, K, and L, except those plans have not changed. The plans that have changed are the expensive ones, Plan G, Plan F, and some of the other ones. Those rates are going up, but not your high deductible rates, not because of inflationary pressures, because those pressures are much less with a high deductible plan. Now, they do go up periodically because of advancing age, but that stops at age 80. And as I've shown the charts to a lot of people, that goes from, let's say, in the neighborhood of $40 to in the neighborhood of $55 or $60 at age 80. And then they're done. And the only increase they're going to have is one based on medical inflation. So I just want to say that my advice to people is holding true. You buy a Medicare supplement from me, and you're going to have a recommendation of a high deductible Plan G or a high value Plan G that is going to hold its cost as close as possible to the original cost that you have to pay. And over the long haul, you're going to be money ahead. So I'm guessing that the crickets have chirped and then run away.
The crickets have chirped. That's true. But I did want to say how oh my God, I am so glad that Oklahoma got their Medicare Advantage problem figured out, because I had heard through the grapevine, I don't know whether this is true or not, but in preparation for their anesthesiologist contract to expire, they had sent out little boxes called self-anesthesia.
Ooh.
And they were little.
I think I know what's coming. We don't want to hear what they're doing.
They were little leather strips that you could bite on while having your surgery done. Is that? Did you hear that?
Not only did I hear that, I'm from Oklahoma, and they sent me one, even though I don't live there.
Oh my God.
But here was the scary part. The scary part was it said, after your surgery, please wipe off the drool that you left on the leather strap and return it to us.
Yes.
Or other people.
It's a multi-use. It was a multi-use strap, for God's sakes, people.
That is crazy. So that's averted for now, but who knows what's going to come up. As that article warned, there are new contracts expiring in 2022. So
you got it.
People in Oklahoma that have Medicare Advantage coverage are going to be getting bad news and warnings in the mail more frequently. Yeah.
I'm saying, you know, strap yourself on the horse. It could be a rough one, kids.
Well, anyway, we're not there. We're not having to deal with it. And all of our happy clients have Medicare supplement plans.
Yep. So, yep. Due to your very, very good guidance, Doug.
Oh, pshaw.
So we need to thank some folks here. We need to thank them for joining us. We thoroughly appreciate it because without you, it just wouldn't be as much fun as it is with you. And also, before we sign off, I want to get you down there, as Doug said earlier in the podcast, get your book, get it in whatever form it is, you know, read it, touch it, listen to it electronically, whatever you want, color or not. Just get it because it's going to be a valuable resource to you moving on to the Medicare land. And you certainly don't want to fall into the foot trap of Medicare disadvantage plans. And you could probably avoid doing that if you just read Doug's book and follow his solid gold guidance. What do you think about that, Doug?
That's a fantastic description of what people are going to encounter if they actually buy and read a book. They don't even have to buy it. They can steal it if they can figure out a way to shoplift it from Amazon.
Yeah.
But your description is perfectly accurate. Stay away from those Medicare Advantage plans. Go with the freedom, the happiness that you'll find with a Medicare supplement plan. And ultimately, you're going to be a happy camper off into the sunset of your life, which we hope will be many decades away.
Absolutely. So anyway, you know what we've just done? We have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance insurance guy from Oklahoma, and now the guy packing up the old homestead in Illinois.
Bye-bye.